The United States of America was ultimately founded by Christians of different denominations seeking religious freedom, and then they bestowed that freedom to all others over time. The first freedom listed in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, that is the Bill of Rights, is religious freedom. America as a nation is still sensitive to the issue of religious freedom, even in other places of the world where it can be dangerous to be a Christian. For many years now, Nigeria has been reported as one of the most dangerous hotspots on the earth, although recently the Trump administration has helped the Christians there. We'll find out about that, and we'll also find out what's going on in Vietnam, Bangladesh, Thailand, and other places. Wendy Wright heads up Christian Freedom International. She joins us now to give us an update on anti-Christian persecution around the world today. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Wendy, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to be on.
Sure. And so why don't we start with an update on Nigeria? Because since you and I spoke last, we were all, saying how sad it was that many Christians were being slaughtered by Islamists. And even people like Bill Maher were saying, hey, this is wrong. I mean, I'm not a Christian, but this is just wrong, period.
Yeah, his statement, Bill Maher's statement, just skyrocketed the attention on what is happening to Christians in Nigeria. So we're really thankful for that. But this is something that's been going on for many, many years, how Christians have been targeted by radical Islamists for massacres, for their villages to be occupied, taken over. It really is an attempt to create a caliphate in Nigeria, wipe out the Christians and institute Sharia law throughout the country. It's been an extremely dangerous place for Christians. There are a lot of other complicating factors as well. Oftentimes a lot of attention will be played to those other factors. They all do fit together, but the end bottom line is that thousands, tens of thousands of Christians have been killed. And thankfully, the world is now taking notice, and we're really grateful for the attention that the United States under President Trump is giving to the plight of Nigerian Christians.
Well, was there some sort of military action or something like that in the last month in December of 2025?
Yeah, it was really shocked everybody. Right on Christmas Day, the United States bombed an area of Nigeria, which is a hot spot. It's almost like a headquarters for Islamist radicals. It's a place that they coordinate out of to do raids against Christians in other parts of the country. Now, I was a bit surprised to see even some secular media when they reported on the U.S. bombings in Sokoto state that these so-called experts are saying, we don't know why the United States bombed in Sokoto. That's not where the Christians live. Well, we don't want to bomb where the Christians live. We want to make sure that it's the those that are attacking the Christians that are the ones that are getting the full attention of the United States. And there is a sheikh in Sokoto who has been a leader of these radical Islamists, and he tries to play a mediating role as if he's the mediator, but really what he ends up doing is condoning the idea of kidnapping and paying ransoms for kidnapping. Well, by doing that, you created a market for kidnapping of Christians and others to extract millions of dollars from innocent people, which is then used to fund the radical Islamists in their pursuit of creating a caliphate. So bombings by the U.S. on Christmas Day are still being looked at. What was the impact of it? But we do know that it occurred in an area where the Islamists had their headquarters.
Have there been attacks against Christians since the bombing, to your knowledge, in Nigeria?
Yeah, regrettably, the attacks continue. And these Islamists are completely 100% committed to their cause. And so sadly, there continues to be attacks, there continues to be kidnappings. One thing that I would ask people to pray for the Christians in Nigeria is that it's regarding the kidnappings, because the Christians are put in a really difficult position. They don't want to be paying money to the perpetrators of the kidnappings, but they want to free their loved ones. And so the Christian leadership is put in a difficult position. Several of the Christian leaders in Nigeria have said, don't pay ransoms. And if I'm kidnapped, don't pay a ransom for me. So we just ask everyone to pray for wisdom for the leaders and those who are caught in this web of terrorism.
Okay, thank you. Anything else you want to say about Nigeria? We'll move on to another. By the way, when you mentioned Bill Maher, were you ever on that program when he was on the ABC TV, the politically incorrect one?
No, I never was.
Okay, I thought you were, but all right, I was. So anyway, I just wondered, you know, there's probably an alumni group of that. Because it used to be, I mean, he used to have like a Christian that they would throw to the lions, and yes. I was that person four times. And anyway, okay, so.
You're very brave, Jerry. I commend you for doing that.
Yeah. You know, I would like brave to, or nuts, I don't know.
I would like to mention one other thing regarding what's happening in Nigeria is that Christian Freedom International, other groups as well, we are stepping up to help the Christians who have survived the massacres, those who are suffering from the trauma of it, the children who have been left orphaned. So for Christian Freedom International, we provide sponsorships for children of the survivors of these massacres. And the sponsorships help to provide schooling for them, tuition, uniforms, books, a meal a day, because we want to help them to prepare for their future, not only to help them to recover what's been lost, but to make sure that they have a hope for the future. So I encourage people to go to our website, christianfreedom.org, to find out more about that.
All right. Excellent. Tell us about Bangladesh and Christian anti-Christian persecution.
Yeah, Bangladesh kind of flies under the radar, not much attention to it, but Islamists are gaining control in the country. A year and a half ago, there was a coup, and since then, there's been a breakdown in law and order, and Islamists are filling the void. So there will be elections in February. It'll be a key time for Christians and minorities, religious minorities in that country as to whether or not they can live safely in that country. Our work there is providing sponsorships for pastors who are converts from Islam, converts from Buddhism. We also provide sponsorships for children, and we provide safe houses, which has been necessary, has become even more necessary as Islamists are gaining control, to have safe places that Christians who get targeted to run to and be provided for until they can go back to their homes. I was just over in Bangladesh. I and a couple of our board members, we held Bible trainings for a Muslim background pastors. And it was to really strengthen them in the gospel so that they have a clear understanding and message of grace, which is such a contrast to the Quran. And it's one of the most powerful ways of spreading the gospel is for people to understand God's grace and mercy. And we're finding that in Bangladesh, in Nigeria, in other countries, many people, it's hard to count the numbers, but we see we're hearing of huge numbers of people who are coming to Christ. And I believe it's because they are seeing such a contrast between darkness and light. As the Islamists gain more control, people are seeing how very dark and evil people can be under the wrong influences, and they are then drawn to the light of Christ. So we want to thank our supporters who make it possible for us to continue work in these areas where Christians are brave enough to continue the work of spreading the gospel and being a light in these in areas where Islamists are gaining control.
What's the difference between an Islamist and a Muslim?
Right. So, you know, there are different sects of Islam, and they believe different things. Some of them may be considered more moderate, some of them extreme. And it can be hard to nail it down as to this particular sect or this particular group in this geographical area. And so I just refer to them just in general terms. Islamists are those seeking to institute and impose Sharia law, not only on their community, but on other communities. And they believe that Islam must be spread to control the entire world. There are some Muslims that, in fact, are friends and our allies and can work alongside of. And those would be considered moderate Muslims. And so it can be, it really takes wisdom and discernment to know who to work with, who not to work with. And that's why we rely on our partners in country who have a better understanding of what's happening in their own culture. I think that's incredibly important for us to be listening to them, not just imposing our views of, and ways of operating in these other countries, but coming alongside those who are from those cultures, from those countries, and helping to strengthen them as they live for Christ.
As far as Shiites versus Sunnis, and I don't want to go into all that, but there are Islamists and regular Muslims within the Shiites and Islamists and regular Muslims within the Sunnis, correct? And by
you know,
the way,
Jerry, I think you probably have more understanding of all of that. I have a hard time remembering which country has a majority of Shia, which one has a majority of Sunni.
Okay, Islam. Okay, Iran is a majority Shiites. And the Shiites, by the way, can't stand the Sunnis, but they both find, you know, the Islamists, at least, find common cause in hating the non-Muslims, and that would include Christians and certainly evangelistic Christians who are trying to win Muslims over for Christ. And by the way, one of the greatest felt needs for anybody, including Muslims who do not know Jesus yet, or, you know, who have not, you know, embraced Christianity, is guilt. How do you deal with guilt? And Christianity absolutely and definitively deals with that. So we thank God for that. Okay, tell us about Thailand and Vietnam as we talk about anti-Christian persecution around the world.
Yeah, so Thailand has been a fairly safe place for Vietnamese Christians who have been tortured and oppressed and persecuted to flee to in order to find asylum or a safe place in another country. But I regret to inform everyone that just very recently in November, a Christian leader from Vietnam who had been tortured and jailed in Vietnam, he and his family fled to Thailand, but in November, Thailand extradited him at the demand of the Vietnamese communists. And it's incredibly distressing to see that happen, that Thailand is bowing to the demands of the Vietnamese communists. But we would ask for prayer for the Vietnamese Christians who are suffering in Vietnam. We ask for prayer for those who are refugees in Thailand. We've been helping to support the refugees, and they have many needs, not only shelter and food, but also medical needs, schooling, and their position now is a bit precarious. And so we would just ask for prayer for the Vietnamese Christians who have already suffered so much.
All right, we have about a minute and a half left. How about the comment on North Korea, South Korea, China?
Well, yes, you know, the geopolitics continue to change, but North Korea continues to be just the worst country in the world when it comes to persecution against Christians. And frequently, the leader of North Korea sends rockets just to, as if almost to say, don't forget about me, I'm still a threat to the world. So the condition for Christians in North Korea continues to be the worst among the world. But we continue to send broadcasts, radio broadcasts into North Korea of the Bible, of sermons, of news from the outside world to try and get truth into North Korea to strengthen those who have just the seeds of faith so that those seeds can grow.
China.
And in China, gosh, the changes in China happen so quickly, it's hard to keep up. But the stranglehold on churches is getting stronger. And Xi Jinping continues to put more restrictions on Christians and on churches, continues to arrest leaders of churches, and we don't hear from them again, many of them. So we encourage people to pray for the Christians in China who continue to live out their faith very strongly and very publicly and know what they face by doing that.
All right, Wendy Wright, we're out of time. ChristianFreedom.org. Wendy, thanks so much. God bless. Keep up the great work.
God bless. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.